everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast. I'm at underscore Sydney Myers. The website is DallasHoopsCast.com. And you can listen to, where you can also listen to new episodes and read exclusive articles. We also post new episodes on our YouTube channel. So if you aren't subscribed there, subscribe if you prefer that medium. The channel is called Dallas Hoopscast if you prefer YouTube, if that's the easiest way for you to listen. Okay, we have a lot to talk about because we just found out today that the trade moratorium officially ends tomorrow. That's Monday at 11 a.m. Central Time. So the Mavericks have already been linked to some trade targets. And so we're going to talk about that and then make some predictions for what we think are going to happen for the Mavericks and then move on to some draft stuff. But first, I want to talk to you about ZipRecruiter.
What?
I'm just kidding. Okay. No, we don't have ads on this show.
Yeah, that's why I was a little thrown off. I was like, when did this start?
I got you. I got you.
Oh, they got a free ad there.
No, we don't do ads. Okay, so let's get into the trade predictions first, and then we'll do the draft stuff later on. All right, so the moratorium ends tomorrow at 11 a.m. The Mavericks have been linked to like four or five players.
Half the league.
Yeah, well, but what seems solid so far is Victor Oladipo, Drew Holiday, Zach LaVine, Tobias Harris, and Spencer Dinwiddie. Now, Tobias Harris was a little while ago, but mm-hmm. I'm leaving him on the list because it was mentioned that they are interested in him. So first, I want to do which player do you want the most, and then we'll do what do you think the Mavs will actually do. Like, who do you think the Mavs will actually get? So between those players, Oladipo, Holiday, LaVine, Harris, and Dinwiddie, which one do you want the most?
I guess I would say probably Drew Holiday because he is, at least he's known for being a really good defender. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran. He has been in some big moments in the past. Not really. He's been on a lot of teams that really just haven't been as good as
sort of mediocre.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think given a chance on a better team, you'll be able to see he'll probably get more recognition. But I would say Drew Holiday behind that would be Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I think Holiday also fits really well. I think his playmaking ability. Obviously,
his off-the-ball play is very good.
I mean, obviously, you can tell from this list that the Mavericks are going after a secondary playmaker, mm-hmm. which I think is smart because, I mean, Porzingis is a really great player, but he's not a playmaker in the sense of like what a guard mm-hmm. would be. And I think that's what the Mavericks need next to Luka. And that's obviously what they're going for.
And you saw the benefit of having a playmaker when you had Trey Burke, even though it was just for a short period of time and he played out of his mind. But if you put a quality playmaker next to Luka, it opens up the floor. We've seen so many players come into Carlisle's system mm-hmm. and they just are better than before.
Yeah.
And so if you were to get a legit quality secondary playmaker next to Luka, he should thrive in this system.
Yeah, I think that says a few things, the Trey Burke point. One, that playing next to Luka will make that guy's job easier. So if you look at guys like really all of these guys, Oladipo played with Westbrook, but he's a totally different player than Luka. But Holiday, Zach LaVine, they haven't played with a guy like Luka.
No.
A lot of times they're the number one option. Well,
you can see
how playing with a guy like Luka, how that can make his job easier. If Trey Burke was able to do that, imagine if it were mm-hmm. Drew Holiday or LaVine.
Yeah, and I think any player right now that's playing with Luka is just better just because of Luka being on the court.
Yeah.
Tim Hardaway, I know his points per game he's not averaging 20 points per game like he did in New York.
His efficiency.
Exactly. His efficiency, the impact his points have on the game, they actually contribute to winning basketball. And so I think putting a LaVine, Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. a Victor Oladipo into that system who is proven, you know, is a more proven player than Trey Burke.
Yeah.
They'll be able to thrive.
Trey Burke is not as good as he was with Luka.
He played in those like last five, six games the way they thought he was going to be when he got drafted.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think playing with Luka will make that player's job easier. One, because of, like you said, the gravitational pull of Luka, but also how good Luka is and being able to play off of that player or get him shots. And then two, like you said, Carlisle's system. Again, going back to these guys, Zach LaVine's never played really in a system like the Mavericks have or with a coach like Carlisle.
And I think he's had like four different coaches.
Yeah.
So he needs some stability. He needs some legit coaching. He seems to be coachable.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't get along well with
Jim Boylan.
Yeah, but who did?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you... Sorry, I'll let you finish.
Yeah, the guy didn't even call a timeout when he had an injured player. The opposing team had to call a timeout. So,
which there was the Mavericks.
Yeah, and for him to get through the Jim Boylan era without a lot of controversy... Yeah. I think it shows that he's more mature than it appears.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, like, think about all the stuff that came out that we heard about Jim Boylan and just crazy things that went on. And yet I never really heard a whole lot of trouble from Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there was the time when Boylan called a timeout with 10 seconds left when they were down by like 20. And Zach LaVine, they showed him on the bench and he was like, what?
I mean, yes. Well, because it was stuff dumb.
Like that. Yeah, but
he let it leak.
If that's the worst that we ever saw or heard about Zach LaVine, and I mean, other things behind the scenes that we don't know who did or said what, but you know, for him to come out of that with no major drama or damage to his reputation, I think he handled that situation really, really well. So, and everything that I hear about LaVine and see about him, like you said, I think he's a good person, and I think he's a good player, and that's hard to come by, that combination.
Did you already answer your question on
who you think? I didn't answer it.
I mean, who you want. Would Zach LaVine be the guy that you want
the
most?
Okay, so I think I'm with you that I think Jrue Holiday is the best fit. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Zach LaVine, and like you said, he would be my second option, I think. But Jrue Holiday, I think because of his defense... That would help the Mavericks more than Zach LaVine. Obviously, isn't adding anything on defense.
Yeah, and I think LaVine. The thing with Holiday can produce his points. I think mean a little bit more because he has had seasons where he was on winning teams and he was still averaging about 20 points a game. LaVine may be averaging 25 and a half points a game on pretty good efficiency, but you don't know what that's going to translate when he gets to a really good team.
Yeah,
so he may very well contribute just as well, maybe 20-point scorer. His efficiency goes up because he's in a better system. I think he's a great fit. Now, he would have to take the challenge on the defensive side of the court the way Klay Thompson did, where he's got to recognize that Luka cannot spend energy guarding anybody, really.
The best player.
And so he's got to take that challenge on and guard become one of the best defensive players in the league. If he did that, then at his age and his scoring ability, his playmaking ability, he'd be a real force for the Mavericks.
Yeah, well, and like you said, he is an efficient scorer. Like last season, he averaged 25 and a half points on 45% shooting overall and 38% on three. And that's when with him being the focal point of the offense for
on
the
a
most
bad
part.
Team. Yeah.
I don't get where this narrative came from that Zach LaVine is this
chucker.
Russell Westbrook kind of gunslinger that's going to shoot 3 for 20. And I don't know where that came from. I've never seen that or heard that about Zach LaVine. The numbers don't show it. He's also, his effective field goal percentage last year was 52.5, which is the same as like Anthony Davis, DeMar DeRozan, Luka, Jason Tatum, Kawhi Leonard.
No, he's an efficient player. Scorer. I think offensively, I also think that he would fit well next to Luka because he can shoot the three efficiently by the 38%. And you can probably even say that will go up a couple percentage points because he's going to be getting a lot of more catch and shoot.
Yeah,
type
a lot of these
threes.
Were like pull up.
Yeah. No, I don't understand that. I think you're, from a guy that's gotten better every single year.
Oh, yeah.
He has jumped, so you can tell he's working hard.
Mm-hmm.
He's endured injuries. He's endured bad teams, bad coaches, bad systems. And for him to still be who he is, just if he just has one good coach and one good system, he may really thrive. And maybe I changed my pick from Jrue Holiday to Zach LaVine.
Well, because we both picked Jrue Holiday, but the only person we're talking about is Zach LaVine.
Yes, yeah.
And it's
because we know who Jrue Holiday is.
Yeah, well, and also because there's so much slander against Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
And because I disagree with that, I feel like I'm a little inclined to go even further to the other side than I normally would. Like, I don't think the Zach LaVine fit is perfect. Like, obviously, defensively, he's not a very good defender. But I think that he's not, like, this whole, you know, again, going back to the narrative of him being just a volume scorer, you know, that I don't think is true at all. I think offensively, he would fit perfectly. And, like, yeah, he's the number one option right now, but that's because
they don't have anyone else. Right. And that's where some of the slander has come on the offensive side, as if Luka would be second fiddle.
Yeah,
to
or
Zach
if he
LaVine.
Would, like, take the ball away
from
Luka.
Yeah, and it's like, come on. No.
Well, first of all, just, okay, strictly taking the ball away from Luka, we already want the kind of player to where Luka doesn't have to handle the ball all the time. No, I'm not saying I want it to go in the opposite direction like his rookie year when we were yelling, why is Luka standing in the corner? Like, that I don't want, but I think they're at a point where they understand Luka is the top dog. Well, they just need another guy that can also make plays with the ball.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of taking the ball out of Luka's hands to give him a rest or anything like that. I think you continue to run the offense through him just like you have already been. But just now, when he passes it to somebody, somebody else can make a play. And he's not dependent on making every single play.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important. I think you saw glimpses of that with Trey Burke. Really, that's what they need, is a second wing guy, guard, that can make a play when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And that's really it. And I think LaVine can do that. He's proven that he can do that. Now, defensively, he has liabilities.
Yeah.
But offensively, I don't see any issues, especially with working in Carlisle's system. The fast-paced, they get a lot of possessions. So I don't see that as an issue at all.
Yeah, he's an efficient scorer. You know, I talked about the effective field goal percentage. His pick-and-roll points per possession is 0.89, which is about middle of the pack, really. Mm-hmm. Luka was at 1.04, which he was, like, top five. So you can kind of see, you know, some context there. And so, yeah, and he also can play off the ball. Now, obviously, he doesn't do that a lot because who else is going to have the ball? But he can do that. Yeah, I mean, I think offensively it's a fit. But, yeah, defensively, in those respects, Drew Holiday would be better. Victor Oladipo, so he's...
Theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah. It's hard to know. He had the injury.
He's had good defensive
this season.
Moments.
He wasn't himself. Yeah. So, theoretically, Victor Oladipo would also be better defender. Really, I think probably Drew Holiday and, like, best case scenario, Victor Oladipo would be the better options. I really like Zach LaVine,
yeah,
but I don't want to get, you know, obviously I think defense is something they need help with. So I think I'm with you that the guy I would prefer is Drew Holiday or Victor Oladipo. Next question was, who do you think the Mavs will actually get? So what do you think is actually going to happen?
Well, I think they're going to be more of a benefit of another team getting one of those guys. They just don't have any assets to give away other than their first round pick and then their early second round pick. This year's drafts is really their only main assets. Now, Tim Hardaway would become an asset if he opts in. Mm-hmm. And really, even if he opts out, if he opts out, and they re-sign him, he's still an asset because a team will take Tim Hardaway on a team-friendly deal that's also, you know, paying him for what he's worth.
Or say he opts out and they do a sign-and-trade.
Yeah. So that is really their only assets, and I don't think that's enough to land you a Drew Holiday or a Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to benefit more from being a facilitator, getting a guy like a Tobias Harris who the Sixers maybe need to unload. And nobody wants to really take that contract, so the Mavericks will take it to help the Sixers do a trade for Drew Holiday or something like that.
Yeah, I think any trade the Mavericks do is going to center around Tim Hardaway Jr. and their in the 18th pick.
Yeah.
And then anything else outside of that is going to depend on the team. So maybe that team wants Jalen Brunson, or maybe instead they want Dwight Powell, or instead they want Dorian Finney-Smith.
Or Maxey.
Yeah. Neither one of those guys are like the centerpiece of a trade. But if you're getting Hardaway in the 18th pick, maybe you can also talk yourself into, well, Brunson is a young prospect who was solid, his rookie and all that. So, but I think, yeah, like you said, but it's going to be Hardaway Jr. And what is he good enough to get?
And really, you got to be helping another team to make another trade that they want to make. Like again, the Sixers, let's say they need to make, or they want to make a deal, but they can't make it work because they have Tobias Harris' huge contract. So they will say, hey, well, we have an opportunity to trade for Drew Holiday, but we got to unload Tobias Harris, find a team that will take him. So I think the Mavericks would be that kind of team for, and that was just one team, the Sixers. Yeah. I think there's a bunch of other teams out there that the Mavericks can help be that facilitating team. Gordon Hayward, for example,
if the Celtics wanted to make a deal, or the Suns, maybe Kelly Oubre.
Yes, I think that's where the Mavericks will benefit.
So you don't think that a trade package with Hardaway, like that straight up, that's a trade the Mavs do on their own without being a facilitator?
I just don't know if the piece, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think that trading Hardaway in a first overall pick, is that person going to be that much better than Hardaway?
Yeah, I think it's probably enough to maybe get Victor Oladipo if he really does want out.
$30 million is really an asset trade piece because then that is expiring. And so now you have cap space going into next summer. So they're not just going to give Oladipo away. Now, if he had 2 years left, maybe, it's a completely different story. But the fact that his $30 million is expiring and that team can go into 2021 with $30 million falling off their books, to me, that makes him a lot more valuable because now it's a really low risk, high reward. Because what if he's back to the old Victor Oladipo? Well, you can just re-sign him.
Well, and that's one thing, you know, when I was talking about Oladipo is like, what kind of player is he going to be? And that might affect his trade value too.
Well, possibly. But to me, his expiring deal is more attractive than anything else because you can get him, let's say he's not the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what?
He's a one and done.
But then if he is any good, then you can keep him if you want to keep him.
Yeah, I think that the Mavericks, they have been more aggressive lately in getting guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, for a long time it was they were waiting for free agency. They would never make big trades or sign these players. But, you know, they were aggressive to get Luka, and then they were aggressive to get Kristaps Porzingis. So this trade deadline might, or this offseason, might be a little different than it has been in the years past.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I guess, ideas that they were going to wait for next summer because Giannis.
Yeah.
But I think they're starting to recognize they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, they have one of the top five players in the league. They have a future MVP perennial all-star on their team, so they can go ahead and just start. Now, if they happen to get Giannis, great, but they're not going to waste another season of Luka's career. First of all, Luka's not going to want that.
Yeah,
like, he doesn't want to go into next season being a seventh seed. He wants to compete, so do what you can this offseason.
I was on another podcast, the Pick Aside podcast, and I was talking about free agency and stuff, and I said that the Mavericks don't even need Giannis, and like, somebody was like, that was the stupidest thing. It was, and like, I didn't mean, obviously Giannis makes them better, but if you're talking about what moves do we need to make us contenders, I don't think you need Giannis to be a contender. Like, I mean, of course he makes you a contender.
He makes you a dynasty.
Yeah, but I think having Luka and Kristaps, and then, you know, making other moves, those things make you contenders, you know, starting with Luka as an MVP candidate. So, yeah, Giannis would make them so much better, but, you know, the 0.05% chance that you get him, and then you're passing up all these other guys that will also make you contenders because you have Luka already, then
Drew Holiday makes them contenders.
Yeah.
And so if you have a chance to contend next season, worry about next season.
Yeah.
If you have the season after. But if you have a chance to contend this upcoming season, go for it.
Yeah, and I also don't understand. I tweeted this. Like, anytime we talk about, like, players, trades, free agents, or whatever, people always bring up their age. Like, Drew Holiday, he's, what, 30 years old?
Yeah.
Which is too old now, apparently. And I'm like, I don't understand when this started of when we care so much about these guys' age. It's like,
look, if they're 35... Well, or 36, that's a little different, but 30, the guy's in the middle of his prime.
It's like, you know, well, he's 30 years old. In 2 years, he's, you know, going to be half of what he is now. By the time he's 35, he's going to be a shell of his former. It's like, he's not even going to be here in 3 years. Like, let's just think about the Mavericks' history as a franchise and also the NBA. nobody stays on a team for that long unless they're LeBron or Kevin Durant or something. So, like, even if Drew Holiday came and was really good, what are the odds he's even going to be here in 3 years? Because you're always trying to get better. You're always changing. That's just the way the league goes. If he can help you win this year or next year, you get him.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, the age doesn't bother me for any of these players. I don't even know if I mentioned Spencer Dinwiddie. He's another guy that the Mavericks have been connected to. And, I mean, yeah, I like him, too. This past...
That's the same defensive problems I think you have with him.
Yeah, he's, like, mediocre. He had a good season. He averaged almost 21 points, but really low efficiency, 41%. The year before that, he shot 44, but the year before that, he shot 38, so it's, like...
That's why he's been on and off as sixth man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I would rather have... Like, Spencer Dinwiddie of those guards that we mentioned would be the last-case scenario for me.
Yeah, I think my number one... that I would want, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be upset with any of these guys. No. I don't even know if I could pick a number one between Drew Holiday, Victor Oladipo, and Zach LaVine. Obviously, they each have pros and cons that are different from the other one, but and for that reason, I think it's a wash. Like, I think their pros and cons kind of just even out across the board. I wouldn't be upset if they got either one of those three players. And I don't know
Chances are they're not going to. Like, they're not the only team going after these three guys. Maybe, that's why I think the Mavs just don't have the same pieces that another team can present to the Pelicans.
Yeah.
For Drew Holiday. That's why I think they're going to be that facilitator. They're going to get that guy that the team doesn't want anymore. The Gordon Haywards, the Tobias Harris, you know, those kind of guys, that's who's going to end up, the Kelly Oubres, that's going to end up who's on the Mavericks next year.
What was it? The player whose jersey showed up on
Paul Millsap.
Paul Millsap. How do you feel about that?
I like it. I said it during the season that I thought Paul Millsap was going to be a Maverick next year. Now, we don't know if he's going to be, but I just thought
I mean,
he was,
you know,
for the four that they want, which is a four that's also a wing, but he's a veteran. He's a good defender. He can make plays. He's reliable. He's hit big shots and big moments.
He's older. But I know we just talked about age. But
he's not the centerpiece of what you're doing.
That would be a small deal they made to just
but it's that veteran,
fill out the roster.
Exactly. And the guys hit big shots in the playoffs. So I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, a cheap, just random free agent deal you bring for a veteran presence to add depth. I like it, yeah. I do kind of think that it is going to happen because it's so random. Why would a Paul Millsap Dallas Mavericks jersey show up? So yeah. And then just one other random free agent thing. Danilo Gallinari. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'd love to have him. I mean, I know he's got defensive liabilities, and the Mavericks already have some defensive liabilities. But the guy was the number one offensive rated player in the league last year on a team that centered around defense. And if he can be the number one offensive rated guy on that team, imagine what that would do for the Mavericks offense. Clearly, offensively, not just scoring, but passing, knowing where to be, he clearly impacts the game on the offensive end of the court, even if he's not scoring the ball. I would love Gallinari, but defensively, you know, you couldn't do all of your minutes with Gallinari and Porzingis at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's the best case scenario kind of guy, the Bradley Beal, the Klay Thompson.
They're just not going to get those guys.
Yeah, you know, Jalen Brown. That's a very high-level dynamic playmaker and a very good defender. And yes, the Mavericks probably do want a guy like that, but who's available?
Yeah.
Who can they get? Will they have to live with some deficiencies? I think so. And I'm not saying you make a bad deal because you're desperate, but if that guy is available and you feel like we can live with that, you know, we can, you know, make whatever other moves, I think do that.
And the goal is to improve every year.
Yeah.
So next year's team isn't going to be the team for 10 years.
Yeah. And
you just want to be
better.
You get
an asset and you can make a trade.
Yeah.
Or something.
You want to be better next year. And then the year after that, and you'll start getting more and more players that want to come to Dallas. But I just don't think they have enough assets to get. Of course, I didn't think they had any assets to get Porzingis.
Well, here's a note. Danny Green apparently is going to be traded along with the Lakers' first-round pick, which is like whatever, number 30, to the Thunder for
Dennis
Schroeder. So that might give you an idea of the market. I feel like Dennis Schroeder would be worth a lot more than just Danny Green in that pick. So maybe,
a little surprising, yeah, to be honest with you. But they probably wanted the first round pick. I wonder if it's a higher first round pick because of a trade or something in the past.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. That might give you an idea of like what the market is. Because really the market determines the value.
Well, and again, this is where I was saying that they may have done that to facilitate another trade. Maybe they did that to get Danny Green because the Suns wanted Danny Green with Chris Paul.
That's what
you know?
I was thinking. So, they might use it to sweeten that deal.
And so that's, again, where the Mavericks would be the beneficiary. Like the Lakers, they got Dennis Schroeder for basically nothing.
Would you take Danny Green?
No. No. Because the $15 million and, you know, I'd rather just stick with Tim Hardaway. And Danny Green found himself not playing a lot in the playoffs.
What if you could keep Hardaway and get Danny Green?
I mean, I guess you do it, but I just don't think he moves the needle at all for the Mavericks.
Interesting.
I say that as he's won his fourth championship, or however many he's won.
Danny Green doesn't chase rings. Rings chase Danny Green. Okay, so that's free agent trades, everything, which starts tomorrow around 11. And then if anything drops, we probably will do a pod and scream
with
our
the Mavs?
Heads off.
Oh, definitely,
or something.
Yeah. I think as soon as it drops, it's going to be
a million deals.
Yes, because all these deals are already done.
Suddenly go through.
Yes, they're already done. They just have to get approval. And that's probably why the NBA was like, the owners probably reached out to him and said, look, we got all these trades waiting.
And free agent deals and stuff. Yeah, okay. And then the trade is, or the draft is just after that on the 18th, which is what, Thursday?
Yeah.
And then it's
and then free agency is at Saturday.
Yeah, it's gonna be super crazy. Speaking of the draft, I want to play a game.
Oh, okay.
We did this. I don't know if it was this summer or last summer, where I read scouting reports of current and former Mavericks, and you had to guess.
Oh, this was easy.
And I want to do this, obviously, because the draft is coming up, but also because I'm working on an article where I go back and redraft the Mavericks' worst draft decisions. Because, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, everyone has made bad decisions. Honestly, though, when I went back and looked, they made some really bad decisions early on in their franchise existence, mm-hmm. although they made some really good decisions, too. But you know, in the Donnie Nelson, Mark Cuban era, there's only been like a couple really bad draft decisions. Obviously, everyone knows about 2013, but just a couple of other ones before I published this article. In 1986, the 1986 draft, the Mavericks actually drafted Mark Price, which obviously turned out to be an all-time great point guard. And then they immediately traded him to the Cavaliers for a second-round pick 3 years in the future. I'd say that's probably a super bad decision.
Well, when was Mark Price drafted, though?
1986.
No. Like, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, you know.
25th.
So it's not like,
pick.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's,
but that's kind of a weird, and it sucks that he turned out to be an all-star.
Mark Price, yeah.
Yeah.
Another one that kind of blew me away, that this is like, rarely happens, but in the 1984 draft, the Mavericks had the 4th pick and the 15th pick. They picked Sam Perkins and Terrence Stansbury. Sam Perkins, he was, you know, he had an okay career. Terrence Stansbury never even played for the Mavericks. So they had 4th and 15th. Charles Barkley went 5th and John Stockton went 16th. They literally could have drafted both of them.
And would have had
Barkley and Stockton. That one, I think, was one of the worst. I won't say, 2013, I think, was the worst, but I won't say the other ones. Obviously, they had a chance to draft Kobe, but there were even others in that draft that they could have picked that they didn't. So, anyway, but that made me think, you know, with all these bad draft decisions, hindsight is 20/20, but another thing that goes into it is the scouting reports. Like, even the scouts don't know what these guys are going to turn into. So I'm going to read you some scouting reports of former and current Mavericks, and you have to guess who it is.
Okay, how far back are we going? Is it like 90s?
Oh, I made sure to pick like of your generation.
Okay, in the 2000s.
Yeah,
okay.
Kind of that.
Early aughts, okay.
Okay, yeah, I didn't want to do like, I think last time I did Mark Aguirre or something.
Yeah, and I'm never going to get that.
Yeah, okay. So first, this is from Draft Express. They said, his value proposition at the next level is simple. He created more combined points on the pick and roll for himself and his teammates last season than any prospect in the country. Playing a pick and roll heavy pro-style offense, he kept defenses honest with his jump shot, which ranked second most efficient in this group, and showed excellent command of the ball. While scouts will scrutinize his size, his efficiency as a scorer and prolific shot-creating ability seem tailor-made for the NBA game.
It's got to be Shane Larkin.
It was. Yes,
yeah, that's got to be Shane Larkin.
I shouldn't have read the one about his size.
Yes.
That gave it away because he
was really good in college.
Yeah.
And in college, he didn't look undersized. And then when he got next,
college, yes, yeah.
when he got next to NBA players, he was like Minnie Mouse.
Yeah. Reading that scouting report, I would almost think it was Luka. Because his pick and roll.
Yeah. That's where I was thinking at first. But then when you talked about the size, I was like, despite his size, Shane Larkin, definitely.
Yeah. To be honest, reading that and then thinking about it, Shane Larkin, I thought that Trae Young was going to be a lot like Shane Larkin. Mm-hmm. Like really, of course, I don't even think Shane Larkin was as good as Trae Young in college. But just that powerful as a scorer. But in the NBA, Shane Larkin's height
really affected
really got
him.
And also just not being as great as everyone thought. I thought Trae Young would have the same problem. His height would get to him too much, and I still don't think, obviously I don't think he's as good as Luka, but he's a lot better than I thought he would be. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give him credit for that. He is a lot. I thought he was going to be a total bust, and he wasn't, but Shane Larkin was, at least according to that report. Okay, number two. Wait, where did number two go? This one's good. He's already in the NBA at this point. I won't tell you. Okay. Many NBA players play the game above the rim. At 6'8", 245 pounds, he plays it below the kneecaps. He has no business being the sixth or even seventh man on a good NBA team, which the team he was on have become. He can't jump much, isn't quick, doesn't even have a tattoo.
Doesn't have a tattoo. What the heck does...
And
he played for the Mavericks?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. And he doesn't play for him anymore.
No.
6'8",
245 pounds.
Bernard James?
No.
I have no idea about that one.
Brian Cardinal.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, he played for the Warriors.
Yeah, what a mean...
I know. Yeah. Well, the whole article was sort of a... It wasn't a mean article.
Yes,
it was
yeah.
a funny, because what was going on was they sucked so much that he was getting minutes and scoring like double digits. And so they did this kind of piece on how silly it was that he was the guy, at least for that stretch. Okay. Number three. Where is number three? Okay. This is from SB Nation. If he were a one-and-done college player like his contemporaries, he might be in the conversation as the first pick. Defensively, he must improve on his fundamentals. He has teased the ability to lock down pick and rolls with his mobility and long arms, but he has a long way to go. Okay. I read more.
Is that Porzingis?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How'd you get it?
The fact that you were staring at me as you said his long arms. Huh?
No. Get it? his pick and roll defense liability.
It's terrible. Yeah. I told you. That's what he's going to find himself on the bench.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that, how he just hasn't figured it out.
No, he doesn't know where to even be.
Yeah. Oh, so this was interesting in this scouting report. The ideal environment will allow him to be a complementary offensive player who scores off screens and spot-ups. A high-tempo team that places an emphasis on spreading the floor with their big men would give Porzingis the platform to flourish.
Oh, thankfully,
Which, again, lends credence to my idea that I think he is going to be just like a pick-and-pop perimeter kind of guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep his knees.
Number four. Okay, this is probably the oldest one, but still.
All right.
Okay, this is from Usenet, which I don't even know what that is, but that'll tell you how old this is. Athletically, he's outstanding. He could become a terrific defender in the NBA with his athletic ability. He does everything at a high level. He's a leaper. He has to work on his jump shooting and his ball handling and develop a better feel for the game. He's a lottery pick. That probably didn't help very much.
No, I mean, there's a couple players that came to my mind. Anderson.
No.
Wait,
let me read one.
All right.
Okay. He can dunk, but what else? Could be something special.
Justin Anderson. Don't tell me that. Brandon Wright.
No.
Older. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Do you give up?
Gerald Green?
No.
Oh, man.
I'll give you one more clue. He was compared to Michael Jordan.
That ain't Michael Finley.
No.
Oh, okay.
Vince Carter.
Oh, that don't count.
But he played for the Mavericks.
Yeah, but, you know.
We did Shane Larkin. Yeah. He played here 2 years. Yeah, that was Vince Carter.
All right. What a terrible scout.
Yeah, well.
He can dunk, but what else? Like,
yeah. So another one I read was he entered college as an athlete. He left as a basketball player. Like he was.
How poetic.
Yeah, I know. So there was a lot of comparisons to Jordan, but mostly because he was super athletic and had that same body
type.
And
he played in North Carolina.
Yeah. Okay. I almost read the name of the player.
Okay. Oh, just so I can prepare myself. Oh, how many of these do I have to endure?
There's 7 total.
Okay.
We're
all right.
On
I can do that.
5.
All right. Because these are hard.
Endure.
Well,
because
they're hard
fun.
And I got to use brain power.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry. Okay. The well-used line, he can guard any position on the court, is an oversimplification of his defensive abilities and won't be completely true when he reaches the NBA. He can handle more defensive situations with a wider range of players than most big men can. If he defends a guard wing on the perimeter or in the pick and roll, he possesses the foot speed to keep up with a good number of them, the length to compensate for those he can't, and the defensive instincts to make the possession tougher than most big men his age can. Having a big man who can defend the pick and roll and defend
on
the...
Tyson Chandler?
No, but okay. He was kind of a little bit compared to him. And defend on the perimeter as well as he can will be a huge boon for his future squad.
Okay. Brandon Wright?
No, same idea in terms of body type, style.
Dwight Powell?
No.
Same idea?
Same idea,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Maxey? No, but same idea. Okay. Bernard James? No, but same idea.
You just want to know who it is.
Yes.
He's a newer Maverick.
He's a newer Maverick. I don't know.
Do you give up?
Yes.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
I should have guessed that one.
Yeah.
I forgot he was even on the Mavs. That don't count. He played like 13 games.
Hey, have you seen his workout videos?
God, no, I haven't.
He works
well,
every day.
Well, good for
day.
Him.
This is what I don't... And I was tweeting about this with Kirk Henderson on Twitter. I was like, I don't understand how a guy can work as much as he does, every day he posts these videos, and he's wearing different clothes, so I'm pretty sure it's different days. I don't see how he can work this much and not get better, and not be a better player than he is.
Well, a lot of basketball is just, it's just instinct,
yeah.
It's skill, it's natural.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows, like, okay, it's a 30-second video, so maybe he's in there for an hour,
you know.
He sprayed
water on his face, took a picture.
Or like you said, you know, some of it is just... like talent and mental and kind of stuff. I'm not saying that because
we don't need
to
go on a whole tangent about
Willie I just want to clarify. I'm not saying because I've seen him work out so much now I'm like high on Willie Cauley-Stein and next year is his year. I'm just saying like I don't understand why he's not better.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. I almost said the name again.
Oh my God. Oh,
my
oh no.
Okay. This is from Sports Illustrated. Not an elite creator for himself off the dribble, relies on using his body to shield the ball and change direction. I'll finish reading it.
Okay.
Quicker defenders can get into him and make him uncomfortable.
Oh, that's not Luka then.
Can be forced into settling for his jumper in isolation situations.
Well, the part about quicker defenders bothering him is crap, so it can't be Luka.
No, you were right.
I know. Yeah, I was just making fun of the stupid...
I think in some ways... So obviously his athleticism was brought up. It's still brought up. But this last... The can be forced into settling for his jumper. I mean, that does sometimes happen.
No, he doesn't... He's not forced. He just does it.
He just
he's not forced to do anything. He just does whatever he wants. And sometimes there's a step back and it's like, you know, I kind of would have liked you to drive it.
That was a fire take. He's not forced into doing anything. He just chooses to do it.
All right. Let's not over-dramatize
it. But this is... Okay. From NBADraft.net, not very gifted athletically, but has some sneaky athleticism.
Okay.
A leg that helps him blow by his opponents. His first step is slow, even for European standards.
Okay, and that's completely crap, because his first step is like the fastest of all of his steps.
Yeah, not a very good leaper off of 1 foot. His good jumps come off 2 feet.
That's not true either.
Yeah, I don't know. Can be really emotional at times and lose concentration.
Well, that's true. When you're 20 years old. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do one more. This one is hard because I think it's kind of a generic scouting report, but it's from ESPN. Throwback, who does a bit of everything, patient, calculating in his actions, average outside shooter from the perimeter, but likes the mid-range J, boasts a good-looking stroke, he just needs to better align his shooting elbow, blah, blah, blah. Above average passer. This is, what are you just talking about college players?
I feel like I'm reading a 2K scouting report.
Reliable as a perimeter defender. He has all the versatility and tools that you look for in a small forward. The only question is, how good can he be? Pencil him in as a second round pick. If he had more explosiveness, he would be a sure first rounder.
Is that Dorian?
No.
Okay.
Do you give up?
Oh.
After one guess?
Yes, I do.
Wait, make one more guess.
Okay. Another pick. Can I get a hint? So no? Okay.
Yes, you
is
can.
He currently playing for the Mavs?
He is not.
Okay. Jay Crowder.
No.
Okay, I give up.
I was going to say, think the Dirk Nowitzki era.
Josh Howard?
Like yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, what threw me off is that pencil him in as a second round
He went
pick?
29th in the first round.
I guess so.
It was a stupid scouting report. Yeah.
Well, this is what does it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you read this crap.
It makes him sound terrible, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, granted, I picked the funny lines in your face. Okay, so good job. I don't think you got any of those right.
I got a few, but it was a lot harder this time than I remember.
Yeah, I want to do it again. You know, we're going through a lot of players now, so eventually I'm gonna run out. But yeah, that just shows, like, you know, these scouting reports, when you talk about the draft and like 18th pick or 7th pick, or this is a deep draft, like, yeah, sometimes you can tell this draft is probably going to be good, but the individual players, it's so hard to know. And rarely does a draft come along where Luka is in it, where you
it's
know.
Like one out of every 10 years
is
where you get like legends and Hall of Fame type players. Usually most drafts is a bunch of guys that don't.
And not that the players are crap. Obviously they become NBA players and the NBA is great. But, you know, determining which one it is, mm-hmm. you have guys like Steph Curry, you know, drop and Klay Thompson drop, or like Draymond Green or Manu Ginobili or Chandler Parsons, these guys that drop or go 13th, Kobe, Giannis, for crying out loud.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, those guys are in there, but it's not as obvious as it is like, and of course, you know, people listening know that, but it's just why, like, you know, I want the Mavericks to be smart about the draft, but I know that it's hard. As long as you don't waste it, like the year they just kept trading down, just don't waste it, you know.
Well,
but
right now that they have their players, there's no need for the draft. Like, every year's draft pick is an asset to trade for a player that we know that's already good. Like, there's no point in drafting an unknown who a 99.9% chance they're not even going to be in the league in 5 years. You might as well as trade that pick for somebody that you know at least will be a rotational player.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, so again, working on this blog post, there are some, like when they had the 25th pick, you know, and got Mark Price, or like when they had the 26th pick the year they won the championship and had a chance to get a really good player who I talk about. Like, yeah, it's easy to say that, but that's the one player. It's not like there were five players in that range they could have picked one. What are the odds that they would have picked that one guy? It's not now. Okay, in 2013, that was unforgivable. There was,
but again, you know, we say that all the time. Yes, the Mavs wanted, or Donnie Nelson wanted Giannis. But it's not like he went first overall. He went in the mid-teens.
True,
so
but if they had just picked anyone,
yes,
it would have been like.
Well, that's true. They happened to pick the one guy who did, you know.
I'm not going to let you finish.
Okay, but all right. Well, so, I'll talk to you later then. Like,
in that range, okay, they picked 13th, and they drafted Kelly Olynyk, and then they eventually traded down and down and down. But at these picks originally, and then when they traded down to, they could have picked Giannis, Dennis Schroeder, Tim Hardaway Jr., Reggie Bullock, Rudy Gobert, all of these guys were available in that range. Mm-hmm. And so, like, literally just pick anybody. Keep Kelly Olynyk, for crying out loud. They left that draft with Shane Larkin and Ricky Lito. You know, it's like, and you could have had, it's not even a just Giannis. It was like anybody in that range would have been fine. And, you know,
the only reason they wanted Larkin was because of Barea. They had a short guy who was good, and they were like, well, if Barea can develop in our system, yeah, then any short guy can. Like, Barea was an anomaly. Like, if Barea were 6'3", he'd be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, that's my two cents on the Barea thing.
Anyway, so the article will be up, and then you can see the full list, and then the draft is coming up. I don't know what the Mavs are going to do. I would be surprised if they kept their pick. I have a feeling they're not going to package it.
Yes.
But if they can't trade it, they might keep it in trades and or in draft somebody.
No. There is no need. Like, absolutely none. It. For what, though? Like, we just got done talking about how 99% of these players...
No, I mean, like, they're not going to just... I think they would...
They'll trade it for... I'd rather trade it for Danny Green.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if they can't get anything done and you're just stuck with a pick, like, you have to draft somebody.
But they'll draft somebody that another team wants.
Maybe,
You know, for them.
Okay, that's all we've got. Everything starts tomorrow, and I'll keep an eye on it, and then we'll do a pod if anything huge happens. I don't have anything else to say. Do you have anything else to say?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for following and subscribing. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate the support. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.